Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up, what's up, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Let's Be Honest Podcast, and I am your humble host, Big Bro Tone. I'm so glad you're able to bounce back with me for another week. I'm so happy. Oh, so much to talk about. So much has been going on in media, be it sports, be it politics. So much music came out this past weekend. You had Tory Lanez drop. You had Core drop. You had Styles P drop. New up-and-coming Philly rapper Stax Ruger dropped. So much music, and we're going to get into it. But, you know, I really want to start off with the whole Colin Kaepernick thing, because that's been the biggest thing that's been going on so far. And it really can't be ignored at this point. It can't be overlooked, can't be disregarded. This has been one of the, I guess you'll say, landmarks of this whole debacle between Colin Kaepernick and the NFL. So pretty much Colin Kaepernick was offered an NFL workout by the NFL, and ultimately Cap denied the NFL workout due to lack of transparency, and he ended up hosting his own workout, inviting all teams and executives. So it's a lot in that. It's a lot to talk about in that, because we all know what's Colin Kaepernick's issue with the NFL. There's no need to even backtrack on that. We all know exactly what's been going on, the blackballing. We already know. But specifically in this situation, I want to say about an hour before the NFL sanctioned workout was set to begin, Cap pulled out. Now, Cap pulled out mainly because he claims the NFL denied, well, not mainly, but one of the reasons was Cap claims the NFL denied any media from being allowed during the workout. And also, the NFL and Cap's team had different agendas when it came to the liability waiver, which further strained their negotiations throughout this entire process. So, pretty much, Colin Kaepernick had a workout. And some of the things that was required for that workout to happen, Kaepernick had to sign a waiver that the NFL had created, or that's already been used in the past. That's kind of one of the things that's been debated right now, but, you know, we're going to unpack it. So the NFL wanted to bring Colin Kaepernick for a workout. They gave him literally 2 hours to accept their offer. Like I mentioned last week, he accepted. Now, it was a lot of things surrounding the whole situation that was a little fishy. So, as we all know, Colin Kaepernick's workout was this past Saturday. And he found out last Tuesday. So in between Tuesday and Saturday, a lot transpired between the NFL and Colin Kaepernick. So, during negotiations, Cap's team, during the negotiations, the NFL sent over a waiver to Colin Kaepernick. And due to the broad language within the waiver, Cap's team believed if he signed the NFL's waiver, he could potentially be surrendering his right to grievance or pursue legal recourse over anything related to the workout or his employment with the NFL. So pretty much what that means is, no matter what goes on, no matter what outcome stems from that workout, if Colin Kaepernick signs that waiver, besides the typical liability for, you know, health reasons and, you know, any sort of injuries, besides that typical wording in the waiver, there was additional wording that was extremely broad, and essentially it could potentially strip Colin Kaepernick of his rights, even if he didn't get a job with the NFL. So that's one thing. They disagreed on the basis of the NFL waiver that was doctored for him. Now, Colin's side claims that NFL is not standard. The NFL claims that it is. Okay, so that's already two varying opinions, or two varying perspectives about the liability waiver. So that's one hiccup in the whole situation. Another hiccup in the whole situation was the NFL didn't allow or didn't want any sort of additional media involved with the workout. The NFL made it clear that they were going to provide, you know, footage and everything pertaining to the workout, raw footage. They were going to provide everything, you know, to all teams. And Colin Kaepernick, that was one thing that he didn't necessarily like. He wanted full transparency. He wanted everyone in the world to know what he's been doing for these past 3 years. And he felt like the NFL was essentially trying to hide that and was potentially trying to botch his workout and could potentially leak out that he maybe isn't that good, maybe isn't as good as what he claims that he is. But that's the whole issue, the fact that everyone's trying to control their own narrative about this whole situation. Colin Kaepernick during those negotiations, let's backtrack a little bit. So, like I said, the waiver had a lot of broad language. So they disagreed on the basis of the waiver. They disagreed on the basis of whether or not media should be allowed. Now, the NFL did allow for Kaepernick to use his own wide receivers, and in short, Cap's waiver sinks in. You know, in short, you know, they disagreed on a lot of things. Now, in response to the NFL's waiver, Cap's team sent over their version of a liability waiver 3 hours before the workout. So, the workout was scheduled to be at 3. They sent their version of a waiver the day of, a little before. Now, a lot of people say, well, why didn't they send their version of a waiver over before? Why did they wait until the day of the workout? Again, Colin Kaepernick's team found out on Tuesday. They wanted to host a workout on Saturday. Now, already, that situation sounds extremely fishy, because why would you, if you really wanted someone to succeed, you would give them ample time to be prepared for what you're asking them to do, I would assume. The NFL reached out to Colin Kaepernick on short notice and asked him to come in for a workout that isn't typical in regards to the date. They wanted it on Saturday. The NFL scheduled it for Saturday. Colin and his team wanted it for a Tuesday like normal. The NFL denied that plea and said that we're having it on this day. Take it or leave it. We're inviting all 32 teams. You got your chance. So, we're still filling in some gaps. Eventually, I'm going to give you guys my take on the whole situation. But I mentioned Colin and his team sent over their version of the waiver. And around 2 p.m. Saturday, the NFL disregarded it, claiming it was insufficient. So in short, Cap's waiver singularly addressed injury liability, while the NFL's waiver addressed that and much more. Like I mentioned prior, there was a lot of broad wording in the waiver, according to Kaepernick's camp, that could potentially violate Kaepernick's rights, even if he doesn't get a job in the NFL. So let's just say no team wanted to look at him. No team wanted to give him a shot after the workout. If Colin went to the NFL workout, people, the waiver pretty much states, according to Kaepernick's team, he can't pursue any sort of legal action, regardless of employment or not, against the NFL. So that kind of gave the NFL an out. The NFL can say, hey, we gave him a shot. And at the same time, teams can not, I guess, consider Kaepernick for a job while using the NFL as a shield. So Colin's team, like I said, tried to get the date changed. They didn't budge on the date change. They agreed to let Colin use his own wide receivers. Although, like I mentioned, workouts are only held on Tuesdays, so a decision maker could be in attendance. Now, the entire negotiation imploded, and Cap ended up hosting his own workout, inviting all media, teams, and executives. At his workout, only 8 teams showed up compared to the 25 that were supposed to be at the NFL workout. So, let's really, dig deep and dissect some more. Normally, and I've done some research on this, and I've been reading, you know, ESPN articles, NFL, various articles, New York Times articles. I've been really trying to really get as much information as I possibly can about this situation, because me personally, I want to make sure I'm informed before I even form a solid opinion about the whole situation. Ultimately, I do agree that it was mishandled on both sides. But So normally teams organize their own player workouts or tryouts, however you want to call it, at their own discretion. The NFL isn't involved in that sort of thing. But due to the complexity and the stigma surrounding Cap and the NFL during this whole situation, the NFL decided to organize the workout in order to relieve teams of taking on the pressure or the unwanted media attention or frenzy of bringing Cap in themselves. That's interesting to me. Now, why is it that all of a sudden, if the NFL schedules the workout, automatically teams are going to be interested in Colin Kaepernick? Colin Kaepernick has been without a job for nearly 3 years, if not exactly 3 years. He's been essentially sitting home, you know, without a job in the NFL for about 3 years. And at any point, any team could have reached out to him throughout that time. The NFL claimed they weren't blackballing him, so therefore he was available, right? But no team wanted to give him a chance. No team even boarded him in for a workout, not one single time. And those workouts are private. So I'm pretty sure they could have did everything in their power to try to keep that, I guess, on the low. I'm not really sure. But teams could have brought Colin in for a workout at any point. But they didn't. Now, ultimately, Cap did not attend the NFL's workout, scheduled at 3, but hosted his own at 4 p.m. A lot of people there said Colin looked great. He performed very well. He deserves a job. And at the end of the workout, Cap decided to call out the NFL and Roger Goodell, the commissioner, telling them to stop running and that the ball is in their court. And on top of that, Eric Reed and Stephen A. Smith got into it on social media. Let's be totally real. I'm not saying Eric Reed is the most rational person and neither Stephen A. Smith, but let's be totally transparent. Stephen A kind of jumped out the window very, very, very early. The day of, actually. Didn't let it sit for a little bit. I'm not exactly sure why he was so impulsive in giving his thoughts on that concept so soon when it didn't really play out. But that's neither here nor there. Stephen A, you kind of took an L on that one, just jumping out the window, kind of undermining exactly what Colin's trying to do. Yeah, I just felt like, it's not even a feeling, it's a fact. He jumped out the window without having all the facts regarding the NFL's waiver and what their stipulations were and what they were trying to require Colin Kaepernick to do. So, this entire debacle was simply causing more division than solution at this point. At the end of the day, everyone's trying to protect their own interests. And that's the one. That's the biggest thing I'm noticing about this. I personally believe if this is really about football, then the workout location should not matter in regards to, what the NFL is trying to do. So whether if Colin Kaepernick works out at a high school gym, high school field, or in a high-tech NFL facility, we all know Colin Kaepernick's a pedigree. We all know he's capable of doing. So location does not matter. So I don't believe if teams were really trying to pursue him and look at him not going to an NFL's workout, hosting his own, would really play a key factor. If he can do the job, he can do the job. What the NFL thinks about Colin Kaepernick's talent does not matter. If he can do the job, he should be able to have the job. What the media thinks does not matter. At the end of the day, can Colin Kaepernick make the necessary reads? Can he make the necessary throws to contribute in the NFL? I say yes. Ultimately, a waiver dispute should not influence his signing. This whole situation, he's clearly been blackballed by the NFL. And the NFL teams still avoided the pressure of organizing Cap's workout themselves. So I don't see why he shouldn't or can't be signed, even if he didn't attend the NFL scheduled workout. From Kaepernick's perspective, I can understand the entire farce that, was a... I can understand how he viewed this entire workout as a farce. First, the NFL reaches out to you out of nowhere to bring you in for a workout. Okay. Now, if I'm Colin Kaepernick and I'm taking into account everything that's been transpiring, I don't trust you. Especially since I've won a large settlement against you guys because you guys decided to ultimately settle out of court in a collusion case that essentially was saying that you guys were hindering me from getting a job, and I won. You guys settled, which means you guys didn't want to go to trial, which means I was telling the truth. So already, tensions are already strained because of that. So do you honestly think the NFL is going to bring in someone that took on their shield, took on their brand full force, and got their money? Do you think they're going to get help that man really get a job? No, they're really not. So what they're going to do, they're going to save face. They're going to do everything in their power to make sure we don't look like the bad guys. They're going to do everything in their power to make sure that, hey, we're the NFL. We've done everything in our power to make sure Colin Kaepernick has had a fair opportunity to play in the NFL. So what are we going to do? We're going to host the workout. We're going to invite all 32 teams, and we're going to give Colin Kaepernick the fair shot that he deserves, right? Sure, that's what we would like to think. But when you really try to, when you really peel back the layers, Colin Kaepernick, if teams really wanted his talents, he could have been in the NFL. He would have been in the NFL. So you can't really try to sit here and say the NFL had pure intentions ultimately. They really did not. Their sole goal was to make it clear and known that, hey, we gave Colin a shot. We're disappointed he didn't show up for the workout. They issued a whole memo, and the NFL, from their perspective, they look at it as, hey, we're hosting the workout because we want to protect our organizations and our owners from the scrutiny that they may receive from bringing Colin Kaepernick in. We don't want that to happen. We really believe Colin can help a team. So I don't want to hurt that team's brand by bringing, we're gonna organize the workout. That's never been done before. Never. Not once. This whole situation, if we're being frank, I think Colin knew what this situation, how this situation is gonna unfold. Now, I don't truly agree with how everything went down, because at the end of the day, if Colin, the NFL, if that truly was your goal, because at the end of the day, we've already acknowledged what you were kneeling for. We know, you've made so many moves on the ground level to push that message, and it's known, and nothing's gonna get in the way of that. Nothing's gonna ever strip you of that. But if the real goal, after all that, was to get back in the NFL, if that was his true undying goal, if that was what he so passionately wanted to do, he would have went to that NFL workout. He would have signed that waiver, relinquishing any sort of rights he may have to protest, to grieve, to essentially... What they were trying to do is say, listen, we're going to give you a job, but you got to shut the hell up. You got to shut the fuck up. You can get a job, but you got to shut the fuck up. But if you never, but if their true intentions, if the NFL's true intentions was never to allow him to get a job in the first place, what that waiver would have done, that waiver would have protected them in the long run. See, it was the old bait and switch. We're going to lure you in, make you think we're going to hire you, make you think we're trying to do the right thing by you, and when you're not looking, pull the rug from under you and say, you weren't necessarily qualified. By the way, the waiver still stands because you are an unrestricted free agent in the NFL. You're registered. So you signed this waiver, you cannot sue the NFL claiming that we did not offer you the job because of any underhanded blackballing. By Colin Kaepernick signing that waiver, he essentially would be saying the NFL has not done me wrong. They will never do me wrong. And I was wrong. Like I said, everyone's trying to protect their own interests. Even Jay-Z. And Jay-Z was very upset with Colin. So people are saying, sources are saying, who knows if this is really how Jay feels. It's a great caveat to add to the story, but people are saying Hov is upset that Colin didn't, you know, show up to the workout. you know, saying that Colin turned it into a publicity stunt, and ultimately he wants to go out as a martyr. You know, this is what sources are saying close to Jay-Z. Who knows, right? So who really loses or wins in this situation? Does the NFL lose? Does Colin Kaepernick lose? Does Jay-Z want to lose? When you weigh everything and what everyone's been putting into it and how everyone tried to protect their own interests throughout the whole situation, no one truly, truly, I guess, lost. Everyone, I guess, essentially got their point across in regards to what they're trying to do. Jay-Z covered his ass tremendously. Remember, he was getting a lot of heat for being a part of the NFL, joining with their initiative and trying to work with them in organizations or whatever sort of programs they were trying to do. And Jay-Z and his companies were working with the NFL. People wasn't having that. People hated that shit. And he got a lot of hell for that. So now it's known that Jay-Z pushed really hard to get Colin that workout. So now Jay-Z looks like the savior. Jay-Z looks like, you know, he did his due diligence when he got in there. You know, it looks good on Jay-Z's part. Now, from the NFL's perspective, from their perspective, you can't call it really a loss. You can call it essentially a PR win for the simple fact that from their lens, we gave Colin a shot. He slapped our hand when we tried to reach out for him. You know what? It's unfortunate. By the way, he's still an unrestricted free agent, so he's very much available. So they say. But we know no one's going to pick him up. So the NFL saved face. They look like they did their due diligence and offer him a chance to get back into the league. And Colin Kaepernick, he definitely protected his own interests in this situation. He knew the NFL was not genuine in their attempts to get him back into the league. So he said, okay, we're going to see how genuine you really are. I'm going to find out. I'm going to pull your card. If this is as genuine as you claim it is, I want all media to be able to see what I'm capable of doing. I want my camera crew as well to be involved so I can have my own footage. And the footage that you guys capture is no footage is at risk of being altered or fabricated. I want to have my wide receivers. I want to eliminate any sort of chance that you guys can undercut my workout and make me seem less than what I really am. Right? So when he pulled their card, no, we're not allowing any of these things. Sign our waiver. Like, it's the NFL pushed back extremely hard on that in attempts to control the outcome, control what people were going to know and accept. They were trying to control the entire thing. So Colin Kaepernick looks like the hero. But by him showing his talents, you know, it eliminates the whole idea that is it because he's not capable of doing the job? Because that was the whole thing. Why is Colin Kaepernick not in the league? Is it because he's blackballed or because he's not skilled enough? By him doing this workout and conducting it on his own accord and not just totally nixing the workout in general and not doing anything, by him disregarding the NFL's workout and carving out his own, hosting his own, it's out there now. The footage is there. Colin Kaepernick is NFL ready and can help a team. So I think it puts more pressure on an NFL team to sign him because all the footage is out there and executives were there and they say he can make the throws. So I think it puts more pressure on ownership, not the NFL as an organization, but more so on teams specifically. I think it puts more pressure on them to react. Because the NFL said, hey, listen, he's an unrestricted free agent. He can sign anywhere. Any team is available. Any team can go get him. So the NFL is taking their hands out of the pot. Saying, hey, listen, he didn't come to our workout. It's quite unfortunate. You know, we did everything in our power, so they say. But, hey, he's a free agent. Any team can go get him. Now the onus is back on the owners. After this whole situation the NFL was trying to avoid, it's back on the owners once again. It's back on the owners once again. Because the footage is there. He can do the job. Now who's going to sign him? Who's going to do it? Who's going to take the leap of faith? No one. Because their intentions was never to sign him. And who knows if Colin truly wanted to be back in the league? Who really knows? Who knows if he's trying to make a point? Go out in the blades of glory. Who knows? At the end of the day, we all know what this man's standing for. We all know what he's fighting for. And I salute that. He gave up his career for that. I salute that. You know, not a lot of people can do what he's done. And also to stay NFL ready and stay in shape and come out and perform the way he did, and people saying he can make the throws and make the reads. Why doesn't he deserve a job? We all know why. Because when you step on the toes of the Grandmaster, Lord knows the whip will crack down. And they will show you who's boss. But let's shift. Let's shift away from this whole situation. I want to get more into music. Because we all heard Kanye West is Jesus is King. And now Kanye West is supposedly teaming up with Dr. Dre to create Jesus is King Part 2. Now, when you first, me first hearing that this is what's supposed to happen in the near future, my first thought was, this shit ain't never coming out. Dr. Dre ain't even dropped Detox. So what make you think he, like, Jesus King Part 2 with Kanye West and Dre is coming out? I don't know. I just find it real hard to believe. It probably is possible. Because, you know, it's not Dre's personal project, so he doesn't probably have the, he probably doesn't approach it with the same angst or the same attention to detail. I'm not saying he's going to shorthand Kanye, but, you know, when shit is your shit, you approach it a little different. You're a little bit more tedious and meticulous about what you want, you know, whereas though when you're working on somebody else's shit, you're trying to craft the vision they're looking for and also put in, you know, imply what you already do. But that's the first thing I thought about. Will this shit really come out? But let's talk about what we already know about Jesus King. I made it clear how I feel about that project. Amazing production, dope message and content, great features and vocals, slightly underwhelming lyricism, and it was just way too short. So Jesus King is not a bad project. So I'm actually looking forward to Jesus is King Part 2. That would be something great to listen to. I really do. I want to see just how serious or how deep Kanye West is going to go down this rabbit hole of, you know, praise and worship. Because a lot of people are questioning his authenticity, questioning, you know, how genuine he is. He was just at Joel Osteen's church gathering that he always hosts. I'm not really sure what it's called, but Kanye was just at Joel Osteen's mega church. He went to praise and worship with prisoners, inmates at a prison. Kanye is doing a lot of work on the ground. Kanye West is doing a lot of traveling, not just working his project, but a lot of fellowship. He's doing a lot of fellowship, and I got a ticket for what it's worth. That's amazing. That's dope as hell. I think it's dope the message he's trying to push. I think despite, you know, his transgressions, be it in media, be it in politics, I think ultimately we all know Kanye West is a pure person. He's an emotional person. He doesn't really move off he's not too calculated, what I mean. He's impulsive. So he's someone that you kind of take at face value. You take what they say, you take how they, like, they're not someone who can hide how they feel for too long. Not anymore, at least. But Kanye West, his career in totality has just been something of a masterpiece. And he told the masterpiece. Kanye West's music has been through so many transformations, and he's evolved so much as an artist, his sounds, production, every he's just evolved. into something that a lot of people may not fuck with. I do fuck with. I know a lot of people didn't really fuck with the Ye album. I love Kissy Ghost. I really did fuck with the Ye album. Out of the 7 tracks, 4 out of 7 are guaranteed amazing songs. Now, in basketball language, that's a pretty good shooting night. If you got 7 attempts, you make 4 of them, hey, you were productive. Look at my 3-pointers, even better. 4 out of 7 for the 3-point line, that's better than 50%. That's great, you know? But the project was short, which is something he's been doing lately, and I'm not too much of a fan of it. I like something to really like sink my teeth into. Like, this Jesus King album was just way too short. And I love Kanye West. I literally love almost everything he put out. Kanye West has been my favorite artist, like, since I was a kid. And he's in my top 5. He's in my top 5. But if it is coming, Jesus is King Part 2, I really am looking forward to it. I really am. My favorite, I've had to think about my favorite Kanye West project. My favorite Kanye West project might be, if we're not counting Watch a Throne, it might be My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy or 808 to Heartbreak. I love those two Kanye West albums. Like, I love them. I love them. Don't get me wrong. College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation. Those are all classic albums. But in my opinion, I feel like Kanye West has 5 classic albums straight. College Dropout, classic, without a doubt. Late Registration, classic. Graduation, classic. 808 and Heartbreak, classic for exactly what it did for music, what it did for the sound, what it got people doing, experimenting. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, classic. When you go down that track listening, oh my God, come on. Watch a Throne, classic. Kanye West really, he's the dude is out of this world when it comes to his musical genius. Kanye West is one of the greatest musicians, musical artists of all time. He's defined a generation. He's defined the sound. He's left his thumbprint on music. A lot of these niggas were scared to be themselves before Kanye West came out here. Let's be totally real. The reason you see artists like a Drake, you know what I'm saying? The reason you see artists like a J. Cole, you know, being so vulnerable and how they feel and all that kind of stuff, not forcing being a street guy or whatever. The reason you see artists like that is because of Kanye West and the hits he took in. He came in wearing a pink polo where everybody was wearing jerseys, and you know, he came out saying, "I love my mom, man. You know, I'm not the most emotional stable person, and I do feel, and I am arrogant." Kanye West gave you all those feelings and emotions, and you know, on top of that, he was talented. Now, we all know Kanye West got help here and there, you know, with bars, sure. But nonetheless, what he brought to the table, his delivery, what he's able to just do musically, production-wise, culturally. Kanye West could sell a fucking blank t-shirt for over, like, you already know. That's when you knew Kanye West really, his brand is off this world. He could sell some fucking, a blank t-shirt and people sell it. Seriously. So Kanye West, if Kanye West and Dr. Dre, if Jesus is King is coming, I'm waiting. I'm so waiting. I'm so waiting. Moving on, Party Next Door is supposed to drop something this Friday. He posted something with one word or whatever. Honestly, Party, where the fuck you been at? And I mean no harm, my brother. People go through shit. People go through a lot of shit. But where the fuck you been at, bro? Party is just too talented to be bullshitting out here. Like, Party Next Door is too talented. That man's R&B mind is one of a kind. If he was more dedicated, he'd be untouchable. As a writer, as a vocalist, his production choices, the sample, and like, Party is really a force to be reckoned with, and I wish he put out way more music. His latest project was 7 Days. I think that was an EP or something like that. But his last project was 7 Days, right? And that came out September 29th, 2017. It's about to be 2020. So if he really got something coming this Friday, it'd be 2 years and some change since the last project, September 29th, 2017, 7 Days. And then before, then right before 7 Days came out, he had dropped Colors Part 2 on June 2nd, 2017. So he's been without, Party Next Door's catalog is not that extensive. Quality, but not quantity. You know, he has a quality catalog. PND 1, PND 2. Oh my God, those two are classic R&B projects in my opinion. I'm sorry, for my generation, for my like for R&B, me coming up, PND 1 and 2 are two classic R&B projects. I think the first one was a mixtape and the second one ended up being an album. And then he had PND 3. But that one was cool, but PND 1 and 2, those two specifically are classic R&B projects of the two of this generation from 2000 from this era from 2010 to 2009. I believe PND 1 and 2 is some of the best R&B projects to come out from 2010 to 2019. I will die on that hill. I will. Whatever this content that Party is supposed to be coming out with, though, whatever it is, if it's a single, I really don't want a single because I fucking hate singles. But whatever it is, I really pray is one of the dopest PND records out here. If it's a full project, please, 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 I can't wait. Like, I'm really anticipating what this is from PND. Because he's been without catalog for quite some time. It has to be a project. It has to be. He's been quiet for so long. And when he dropped this photo, whatever it is, when he dropped this promo, Twitter went off. So I hope he really drops a song. I hope it don't get pushed back. I hope it ain't no cat. I'm really an R&B nigga. Outside of this hip hop shit. Like, I love hip hop to death. I'm a hip hop head. I really love digging deep into the crate. Like, you know, going back, you know, listening to older hip hop before my time. I really love to digest music, but R&B, like, I really fuck with R&B. I feel like a lot of R&B shit just fell under the radar now because that's just maybe not what's popping per se. But, like, I really fuck with R&B, man. You can't tell me shit. I'm a sucker for a solid R&B album. Real rap. Like I mentioned, PND 1 and 2, two classic PND projects, for sure, for him. PND 2 is my favorite, though, out of both of them. I know a lot of people say the first one is the best one, you can't go wrong with that, and you can go wrong with it. I feel like you can choose either or, there's no wrong answer, but PND 2 is specifically my favorite. That's the one I always go back to. Like, I can't get over that sample on Muse. I can't get over that sample. The Genuine Only When You're Lonely sample, I can't get over that shit. That's a PND really is a R&B mind for the ages. It really is. Like I mentioned, a lot of other music came out this past weekend. Core dropped Spare Me, his a project, a follow-up to his previous project that came out this year. I'm not really sure why he kind of came out right away with this one. It would have been cool. Well, I don't really blame him. He ain't got really much to lose by dropping this project. He really don't. First things first, I really enjoy the project. Core, like I said on the last project that came out, what was it called? Shakur, I think that's what it was called. Let me see. Yep, Shakur, that project. That album showed that he is ready to, he's really trying to start making songs now. He's really trying to make some quality records. And he's slowing it down too. You really, like, he really slowing his bars down. He experimenting with production. So on Spare Me, he's, you know, similar thing, really trying to, you know, expand his range, what he's capable of doing on these records. And I think that's real dope. One of my favorite songs off the project well, 10 tracks on the project, 32 minutes, so not that long, very easy to digest, on average about 3 minutes per record. But Orange Is My Shit, Wasn't Cool, Sandwich Bag, you know, he really did his thing on this project. So shout out to Core, Philly's own. Shout out to Core for dropping this dope ass project, man. Keep doing it, keep putting out the content, because I feel like it's only a matter of time for Core really take his career to another level. He's there, he's on a cusp. I can feel it. I can just feel it. 2020 is gonna be Core's year. I'm claiming that. Moving on, Tory Lanez dropped Chicks Tape 5. And that might be the biggest prize that could drop this weekend. For the simple fact that the Chicks Tape series by Tory Lanez has been one of the staples in his career. And it shouldn't be overlooked. Chicks Tape 5. So we all know how the Chicks Tapes go. Tory do a lot of sampling and shit, which he's a master at. This project has 18 tracks, some skits in between. But he samples so many different songs. He samples songs by Jagged Edge, T-Pain, Snoop, Chris Brown's Take You Down, fucking Ludacris, Maya, Trey Songz, Lloyd, Fab, 112, Ashanti. Ashanti on the cover art. Ashanti looks amazing on the cover art. That cover art looks so early 2000s. Like, that cover art is so early 2000s. Late 90s. It's Tory Lanez really delivered on this project. One of my favorite songs off this project is definitely The Take with Chris Brown. Still Waiting. Thoughts with Lloyd and Wayne. The Trade. I really do fuck with Chicks Tape 5. It's a vibe. It's an R&B vibe, man. I'm glad Tory got back in his R&B, bag. I prefer Tory when he really on his R&B shit. Tory really is starting to really carve out a lane that he could dominate. Now, he's very talented. He can rap, sing, do all that shit. He's a hell of a interviewer, you know, charismatic dude. So he has the whole package, right? And you hear it in the music, the confidence, the suave, you know. I really fuck with Tory Lanez, and Chicks Tape 5 is something that people really need to really dive deep into. That's a dope ass project, man. I think before Chicks Tape 5 came out, one of my favorite Chicks Tapes might have been three or four. Styles P also dropped this past weekend. He dropped Presence, another project. Styles P is just not playing, man. He said, listen, like, I may be an OG in this game, but I'm putting out content no matter what. And I think in an interview not too long ago, he's mentioned that he had some more projects coming out. I know his son is a producer and an artist also, so I think he did some work on his project as well. I really enjoyed this project. The production choices, this project seems way more soulful. So make sure you go check out Styles P's Presence. That's a dope project. And last but certainly not fucking least, up and coming Philly artist Stax Ruga dropped a project. Everything's a Go. Make sure y'all really go check that out, man. That's a really, really dope project. It really is. Because and it's not that hard to get into. I think this is 10 tracks, 12 tracks, 30 minutes. And Stax Ruga, one of my biggest things with him, I like that he sounds like he has an unorthodox flow delivery, I guess you'll say. And I fuck with the sound of his voice. I fuck with his cadence. So I'm really excited to see what's in store for Stax Ruga. He went in on a couple different beats on this project. Some original beats for sure. But this project by Stax Ruga, Everything's a Go. Make sure y'all go check that shit out, man. Really do. I also got an interview up and coming with that guy, man. So make sure y'all be on the lookout for that. More content's on the way. We're going to close out with that, though, y'all. I want to thank you guys for locking in with me for another week. You guys are always amazing. You guys are always loyal. I appreciate it. I honestly do. You know, sometimes as we grow and we start to go in these different rooms and go in these various job interviews, or we're trying to further our career, whatever you're doing, entrepreneurship, whatever it is, there are going to be times where they try you, your integrity is questioned. There are going to be times where you may feel violated. But how we handle ourselves in those situations can dictate how the outcome occurs. Me personally, I can never compromise myself for a check. I'm more for impact versus currency. Make sure y'all understand and keep it locked that creative people do different things. Stay humble, stay healthy, and most importantly, stay hungry. One love, y'all.